In today's gospel, Christ predicts the suffering he must endure for our salvation. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus and his disciples set out for the villages of Caesarea Philippi. Along the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say I am?" They said in reply, "John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter said to him in reply, "You are the Christ." Then he warned them not to tell anyone about him. He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and rise after 3 days. He spoke this openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. At this, he turned around and, looking at his disciples, rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do." He summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and that of the gospel will save it." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
It happened last winter, last February, on a bitterly cold February night in the subway of Boston. It was one of those nights where it was so cold that the cold air had even penetrated down into the subways. It was just bitterly cold. It was late at night, and as the cars rumbled through the various stations, there weren't very many people getting off and getting on. But at one station, this elderly woman kind of stumbled onto the train. She was either sick or tired, or maybe she was on something. She was dirty, unkempt, just a mess. Clothes were ragged. And when she sat down in her seat right by the door there, she immediately fell asleep. The few people on the train couldn't take their eyes off of her. And one of the things they saw was that on her hands, in this cold night, she had what used to be mittens. But they were so torn and ragged that her fingers were coming right out of them. Just rags. And everybody could see that her hands were blue. Well, the train kept going on, and finally at one station, as it came into the station to stop, this young 17 or 18-year-old Latino boy stood up. But rather than going to the door right across from where he was sitting to go out, he made a deliberate choice to walk down the car past this woman who was sitting there still asleep to the door she had come in. And as he's standing there waiting for the door to open, he takes off his gloves and puts them in her lap. As he leaves, takes off his gloves, puts them in her lap as he leaves. I think this story, by the way, was told to me by a priest from Boston who had it shared with him by one of his parishioners who happened to be on the train that night. I think it's a very powerful example of what Christ is talking about in today's gospel. See, he says there to Peter and the apostles, and ultimately to you and me, "Who do you say that I am?" Who do people say that I am? Yes, but more importantly, who do you say that I am? And he makes it very clear in this little exchange he has with his apostles that there's only one way we can answer that question. We can of course, say, yeah, you are the Messiah, you are the Son of God, yes. But that's not what Christ is looking for. We can only answer that question, who do you say that I am, by what we do. We identify him to him by what we do for him. He makes that clear today, doesn't he? You know, it's interesting when we see this dialogue between him and the apostles. After Peter identifies Jesus as the Messiah, Jesus says, now don't tell this to anybody. Don't say anything to anybody about this. Strikes us as rather strange. Why would he do that? Why would he want them to keep silent? Well, because he had to re-educate them and the Jewish people about how God was going to save the world. See, at the time of the Jewish people, and we know this from the writings of the rabbis at the time, the Jewish people, including the apostles, thought God was going to save the world like this. This is what they were expecting. The whole world would fall into chaos, economic chaos, wars, probably environmental chaos. And then God would send back to the world the prophet Elijah. Remember in the Old Testament, Elijah's taken up to heaven in a whirlwind. The Jewish people believed that when God was about to save the world, he'd send Elijah back to prepare the way for the Messiah. So Elijah would come back, then the Messiah himself would come. He would set up his headquarters, so to speak, in Jerusalem. All the Jewish people in the whole world who had been scattered into the world, the diaspora, they called it, all of them would be regathered into the Holy Land. But nations would oppose this Messiah. They'd rise up against him. But the Messiah would crush them, beat them down in battle. Then he would establish Israel as the center of the whole world, and peace would last forever. That's what they were expecting. You see how nationalistic and how vengeful and even bloody that vision is. So Jesus had to re-educate them that that's not the way God was going to save the world. God was going to save the world not by force of battle, but by force of love. Christ wouldn't save people by beating them down and conquering them. He would save them by winning their hearts. He'd win their hearts when they saw him on the cross, dying for them, bearing their sins, taking upon himself all the evil of the world. Ultimately, their hearts would be changed, and that's the way God would save the world. So Jesus had to re-educate to that end. But you notice, and this is the important thing for us, that as he begins this re-education with the apostles, what does he say to them today and to you and me? I am going to lay down my life for the world. If you're my disciples, you have to follow my example. You must pick up your cross and follow after me. Now, when he says that, we shouldn't mistake him. He's not saying to us we have to die or even physically suffer necessarily. That may be necessary sometimes. We know it's in the history of the church, there are many martyrs. Even today, in some parts of the world, Christians are being badly persecuted. But that's not what he means first and foremost. He's saying, I will lay down my life for you. You must lay down your lives for one another. I will sacrifice myself for you. You sacrifice your lives in self-giving for one another. That's what it means to carry the cross. We sacrifice ourselves for other people's welfare when it costs us to love and care. That's the carrying of the cross Jesus is telling us we have to do. But you see what he's saying there is, if I am really the Messiah for you, you'll show that by what you do. You identify me by what you do, not by what you say. That's what St. James says in the second reading today, isn't it? What does St. James say there? You say you have faith? Let me see your faith shown in your good works, in your works of love. If you say you have faith and you have no good works, your faith is empty. So maybe today it's good for us to imagine Christ asking us some questions. And he will ask them of us. He's asking them of us every day, really, but he'll ask them a final time. So how would we answer these questions? Christ is now asking you and me. He's asking us something like this. Who do you say that I am when you build up and forgive and support your spouse, even when maybe they make mistakes? But who do you say that I am when you browbeat and tear down and maybe even withhold affection from your spouse to manipulate them to get them to do what you want them to do? Who do you say that I am then? Who do you say that I am when you remain silent about other people's lives, even though you know enough dirt about somebody to make a tabloid newspaper salivate? You don't say anything. But who do you say that I am when somebody can't hold up their head in public because of your tongue? And who do you say that I am when you never have time to give to any worthy cause? Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, Little League, church activities. You never have time to do anything for anybody else. You only have time for yourself. But who do you say that I am when you do give time to those things? And finally, who do you say that I am when you never, never, never have enough of what you want to share with those who are truly in need? Never have enough to share with those in need. But who do you say that I am when you take off your own gloves and put them in the lap of a lady with blue hands? Who do you say that I am then? May God bless you.